This is the Bearded Wisdom podcast featuring Trevor Essex, Adrian Burney. We're talking about God, love, relationships, black culture, offering some fresh perspectives of experiences that we've had, experiences that we've observed, and this is our first podcast. Hopefully there's some things of substance that will enrich and benefit your life. And hopefully you can follow us on this journey. Trevor, what's going on?
Yeah, thank you, man. Not much, brother. Nothing much, bro. Like Brother Adrian was just saying, this is our very first podcast, numero uno, so bear with us. You know, but brace yourselves, though, because we're definitely going to be able to touch base on some very important topics. You know, we, you know, aim to, you know, not be all too serious within it, but at the same time be able to create some level of relatability for y'all, because, you know, we're just, you know, everyday black man going through the same struggles as y'all. So,
right,
you know, hopefully y'all can tell us exactly from where we're coming from through our experiences.
I hope that well, I know that we're going to offer you transparency, do our very best at offer you humility.
Very best.
But transparency is key, because we know that, I mean, right, there's a lot of things that we hide behind education, socioeconomic status, relationships, clothing, all those sort of things. But hoping to just kind of give it to you real, that you may find encouragement and strength to be your authentic self. And so that's our aim with this podcast, to try to be as best as we can transparent, in the hopes that our people will be liberated right, from false humility, liberated from false identity, liberated from just all falsehoods. And so
ego being a huge one within our communities, especially with these social battles that we have, that we tend to almost glorify, in a sense. We're at a point where, you know, we have this tough, strong, crabs in the barrel mentality.
Right.
And we glorify self-destruction amongst one another. Right. We have to reverse perspective that kind of bring focus to the things that enhance our lives. That is, you know, the fruit that nurtures us and, you know, our families collectively and individually.
Right. Just telling you a little bit about myself, for those that are in the Fort Wayne area, Midwest area, Indianapolis, Indiana area, those that have migrated from Fort Wayne to Indianapolis. My name's Adrian Burney, born and raised in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grew up on the south side of Fort Wayne, Euclid and Pontiac. My life has gone through some twists and turns as of lately. Many have known me as a preacher. Many have known me as a barber in the community, I would say humanitarian, all those things. But as of late, due to circumstances, and to be quite frank and honest, divorce, it has caused me to shift my perspective forcibly in terms of how I view relationships, how I view myself, how I view family, marriage, culture, and things like that. And so going through an experience like that will cause you to have to do some soul searching. I mean, I'm not the first, nor will I be the last to go through an experience like that. But it causes you to do a lot of introspection. And if you're not one to blame, you have to sit in your shit. And I know many people who may hear ex-pastor Adrian, brother Adrian, cuss like that may will ruffle some feathers, but it's real. So I just want to be my authentic self and try to bring a certain level of relatability to people who've gone through that particular type of struggle. And what I mean, that particular type of struggle, I'm talking about divorce. And to be quite honest with you, there were things that I'd done within my marriage that caused the demise of my marriage. And I only can take ownership for mine. I could blame and I can point fingers and things like that. But the only way that I'll be able to continue to walk in my healing and liberation is by taking ownership of my portion of that. And this is kind of what that podcast, our podcast is going to be like, where we can talk about our real life experiences, because at the end of the day, don't nobody want to just hear two brothers just talking, just to be talking. We're talking with an aim, and our aim is at just being real, and just with the hopes of other people will be able to get real with themselves. Because as we said at the beginning of the podcast, there's many of us that are living pseudo lives, lives that have been handed down to us from other people, things that society has imposed on us that has caused us to become locked and contained within ourselves, and we can't be our real selves and reach our highest level of potential. And so that's what we're hoping we can do. And sorry to be taking over this podcast a little bit, Trevor, but I got to.
Nah, that's all I love, good, man.
You know, I done had a little, I done had a little drink. So
yeah,
got me talking a little good. Okay.
No, man, you know, we're here just introducing ourselves. I mean, that's necessary, man. I appreciate you. I'm sure the audience appreciates you for, you know, opening up. You know, myself, my name's Trevor Adam Essex. Yes, the Bearded Wisdom Podcast. We've been discussing putting together something like this for a very long time to, you know, reach out to the people. Right. Again, you know, primary focus is love, spirituality, and culture.
Right.
I'm born and raised in Fort Wayne as well. Bounced around a little bit. Father was in the military, but early childhood, came back, solidified his family in Fort Wayne, Indiana, be closer to the rest of his immediate family or grandparents.
Right.
Graduated from Paul Harding. Grew up Village Park Apartments, you know, Trail Ridge area.
Right.
Relocated to Illinois, finished school out there, lived in New York for a little while. Now we both currently reside in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Right.
And which is a pretty cool spot, man. Definitely has developed within the last 5 years. It's definitely more culturally diverse than our original hometown of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Right.
But, you know, Fort Wayne is still progressing as well. We see the things that you guys are doing out here, the art shows, the music gradually starting to progress, people starting to get a little bit more recognition. DJ Polaris and Barrage with the Music Lovers Lounge putting together different events. Kristen doing her events with the Rooftop and whatnot, man. Definitely is needed culturally and socially for the city. So
right.
Shout out to you for handling business with that. I'm a spoken word artist. Also design custom suits for a living. You know, right. Adrian, he's been my barber since maybe, what, 13 or 14 years old?
I think you might have been, I think y'all might have been 15, 16.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Yep. In middle school, beginning of high school time and whatnot, man. So we've he's definitely been like a mentor and connected to me along the way in my own personal journey. Now I'm here with him, you know, just kind of providing my perspective and enlightenment on things that, you know, I've gone through personally. I've never been married. I don't have any children. 29, turning 30 in December. I have had my share of relationships. I've been engaged before. And, you know, a lot of people always get the woman's perspective as far as, like, you know, how, you know, man did them wrong, this, that, and the third or whatnot, though. Man. But at times, do we get to hear the man's perspective? So we're going to give you We're going to give you men's perspective on love and, you know, allow ourselves to be vulnerable in a sense. And we're not going to be out here women bashing at all or anything like
I
that.
am.
We have a lot of love. We're just going to give you exactly like, you know, what A says, that transparency. So that way you can get a better understanding of, you know, how we may feel in certain situations and how things should be handled from a male's perspective. And, you know, we'll meet you in the middle with that.
Right. I think, Trevor, I don't know if you'll agree with me or not. I know we've talked a lot about society, especially in particular. We talk a lot about Black culture, you know. And so one thing that I can say that I've observed, again, I'm not saying I'm right. There may be an error to truth in what I'm saying, but it almost seems that in the Black community that men are silent, that women are the leaders in our community. And women, for the most part, in my opinion, Black women don't really care too much about what Black men feel or think. It's more or less to where, I hate to say it, but I just got to kind of keep it real. My perspective have been to where, well, not my perspective, but my experience, my limited experience have been to where Black women are more concerned with their perspective than the Black man. I don't know. What do you think about that, Trevor?
Yeah, I agree, man. Because a lot of them come from broken situations too, so they already have a tainted and distorted visual of what they believe a Black man is or should be. Because a lot of times, because a Black man wasn't present,
right,
or a solidified Black man wasn't present, they had their best examples of what a Black man should be through music, through television, radio.
Exactly.
And they cling to this and gravitate towards this because this is all they know. Subconsciously, they really don't know any other way. So when a Black man do comes to try to, you know, provide a solidified image, but isn't, you know, necessarily reaching their fabricated standard, then there becomes altercation,
right,
as opposed to understanding or a mutual agreement to agree to disagree or to build or to try to gain understanding. It's usually just, it's either this or nothing. It's no working in between or working things
right out.
And that's where the flaw, you know, begins to have its seed planted and grow from there, you know, because not all seeds are good. You know, those bad seeds that we get from negative influences from media kind of, you know, destroy the opportunity for a healthy growth between two individuals who share, you know, a mutual bond or energy that starts off well. Because I'm like, when we navigate in life, whether it's through love and, you know, how we perceive God and ourselves, it's usually based upon influence,
right,
we're influenced. So
I think one thing that we kind of maybe don't take into consideration as the historical implications of the Black man and the Black woman, and in particular the Black family. You know, I think that no one, I mean, we don't have to really search too far to where we realize that, you know, from slavery, you know, that whole Willie Lynch syndrome. And when I say Willie Lynch syndrome, I'm talking about to where I know the whole Willie Lynch letter has been circulating in the community. There's more enlightenment. There's more knowledge about how slavery impacted and having some documents and things like that to kind of let Black folks know, you know, how the issues that we have now, where those things, where those issues stem from. And in particular, what I'm talking about is that Willie Lynch letter, to where, you know, basically the strongest Black man that was in the community was basically savagely, you know, killed. And so that instilled in the Black woman the necessity to protect in particular her black son, her black child, and what it instilled in the little black girls that she has to be the protector. She has to be exactly what the man is supposed to be. And so we still have that issue today in the black community, to where a lot of black women, in spite of what a lot of them may say, that they're waiting on a good man to take over that leadership role, to where they don't even understand sometimes why they fight against a man that's trying to take on that leadership role. And the reason why they fight is because it's been instilled in them.
It's subconsciously embedded into them.
Exactly. Been embedded inside of them to be the one that they have to be the one to kind of like take over the family, take control over the family, and ensure that nothing happens to, in particular, the black man, her black son.
Generational castration.
Exactly. And so, fast forward.
Society cuts our nuts off and won't allow us to, stand up in the manner that, we should. I mean, like, another great reference that I could use is Black Klansman. I'm not sure if Adrian's seen this, man. Hopefully y'all can get opportunity to go check that out, man. Black Klansman by Spike Lee. there's a very pivotal piece, a part of that movie where what's brother's name right there? Brother Kwame. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hey, he was killed in Chicago. Right. Anyways, long story short, this black activist basically came to Denver and spoke at a black college conference. And a police officer, they used a black man to infiltrate and extract information from the Black Panther Party, but the message wound up reaching out to the black man who, prior to going to the Black Panther meeting, had no aspiration of really combating, the powers that be to protect black community, black culture, black love, and whatnot. And as you see the movie, you'll gradually see that growth within him progress. But what I was getting at with that is with how things were prior to, back in the early 70s and whatnot, and 80s, you started to see black collectivism dwindle and die out, that castration where they were eliminating, the strong men who were leaders. They locked them up, called them political activists, or police put a hit out on them and killed them, and just took them out one by one. Tupac's father, Mutulu Shakur, Asada Shakur's husband, Asada, who recently was number one on America's Most Wanted list, he was castrated and put into political
asylum.
He's made into a political. Put in a political asylum, and he's still locked up to this day. Right. And when they take away the black man's voice, there's a lot that gets taken away with that as well. You take away the potential for the black family, you take away the self-awareness, the confidence of a black man. When you take away the black father, you take away the respect for self in a young black woman, a black daughter, that the black girl's eyes. Right. Everything is just completely destroyed from the root on down through the entire tree. Right. So what we need to get back to is being able to have that understanding of exactly why things have evolved and gotten to the point to where it is. It didn't just happen overnight, man. This was a strategic thing. Right. And luckily, with the tools that we have necessary with technology and resources, we're able to get back to where we were, if not become stronger. Right. With black images being presented now, starting to be a more popular thing, like with the Black Panther movie coming out and expanding minds. And that was a beautiful thing to see, black families come together, black communities come together and really dress up for this event.
Right.
People say that it wasn't a win for black people. Monetarily it might not have been, but collectively, as far as energy and bringing my great like minds together, did a great thing. I've seen what it done monetarily. I've seen, technological advances within the black community in Indianapolis. The tech culture is definitely starting to boom, especially when you're talking about, tech and diverse rings. Now people from different cultural backgrounds are starting to gain access from it.
Right.
So we are seeing different progressions. We just have to really focus our perception towards bringing focus towards the good, the things that are happening. Instead of complaining about the things that we don't have going on, we need to focus on the organizations and the programs that we do
Right.
have that are making
Right.
changes and are actively reaching out to the community.
Right. I don't know about you, Trevor, but I can't really pinpoint the shift from religion to spirituality. But I think that for me, I think that it's been a pretty it's been a fearful thing for me, because a lot of times religion is very safe, it's very predictable, and so a lot of times you hold on to religion because it gives you all the answers, But spirituality is to where you really have to live this life out, and you have to become you have to become the answer. And so I would say that I'm breaking away from religion. And when I say religion, I'm talking about the do's and the don'ts, absolutes, things like that, right and wrong, yet,
Me personally, I feel like religion is just perspective of spirituality. So I can completely respect you saying you breaking away from religion, because all religion is perspective, a critique of a spirituality.
Yeah, so me being a former pastor, you know what I mean? That was something that I had to wrestle with, some of the things that I had to begin to critique, some of the things that I had to begin to start learning to question about the religion that I was an advocate for. Not to say that I don't believe in Christianity, but I don't believe in some of the things that are taught, that if you don't do these things, that you are not considered to be someone who loves God. Such as, I mean, we can go on and on and on about some of those things, but kind of like bottom line, it's more or less to where believing in the idea of love, believing in the teachings of Jesus, seeing how those things are, supposed to be carried out, and not so much doing these things in the hopes of getting something in return, but as you said, it being more of a lifestyle that, that it is. Because, as a Christian and as someone who was a preacher of certain principles, if you don't do these things, then you're not considered to be a Christian. But I know people who are not necessarily considered, who don't consider themselves to be Christian, but they walk in the law of love. They walk in, they walk in humility. They walk in good morals. And so, what do you do with that? Do you say, because this person hasn't confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, but through their actions they're saying Jesus Christ is Lord, what do you do with that? And so them are some of the things that, I would say that I still ponder on, and I still wrestle with, and I still think through these particular type of things. And I'm just not so quick to put my opinion or judge certain things, because I don't feel like that's my particular place.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I can try to do my best to take the wisdom and the knowledge and fruit that comes from with the 33 books of the Bible, where, you know, like the information that comes from it. There's also a lot of information and other perspectives as well, like with the Wheel of Dharma and Buddhism. You know, it's looked more, it's within that culture, it's looked at as a lifestyle as opposed to spirituality. They try to, you know, live this lifestyle. It's more so a true do unto others as you would like to be done to yourself type of thing, and to treat your body as you would, you know, as if it's a vessel, you know, same values that we receive, you know, growing up in the word and whatnot, though. But, you know, how many of us really have been like within a full community that, you know, actually aspire to live towards it?
Right.
Got niggas, you know, in the bottom of the basement, you know, at the church, you know, vacation Bible school, smashing on chicken wings and macaroni and cheese, you know, that's, you know, destroying us internally, not knowing, but, you know, we pray over it and pray for the blessing of nourishment, you know, which can be contradictory at times, you know, when God had actually given us, you know, exactly what we need to eat and put into our bodies. So, with that being said, my personal perspective on religion more so is I take things with a grain of salt. I feel like there's wisdom within everything. I feel like I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
We're all within a learning process. I believe the story of God is much deeper than what we could ever even fathom, and we can't just find it within the word, because I feel like there's too much misinformation out there. Feel like our oppressors would not leave us with true knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of self and say, here you go, this is, you know, the way into heaven, this is the key there, just follow this and everything will be all right, when ultimately we know that, you know, they whitewashed what our visual perspective of God is. You know, they subconsciously told us that God looks like them, subjugate us into believing that supreme perfection is not anything like what we are, even though in the word it says, you know, Jesus' skin was of bronze and hairs of wool.
Yeah, I think it's even worse here in the Midwest. And you know, we're both from Indiana, and we see the materialization and the realization of white culture domination, mm-hmm. you know, to where, you know, we have, you know, black folks who, you know, a lot of us aspire to, you know, kind of, I mean, because think about it, you know, when we're in the barbershops, when we're talking amongst other black people, we always give reference to white people. And almost in a way of honoring them, you know what I mean? Honoring them in such a way to where we aspire to be like them. And so success and doing things in a spirit of excellence, we more or less look to how white culture does things, and we try to, you know, almost emulate things that they do. And I'm going to just confess something as a business owner, as someone who formerly ran a barbershop here in Fort Wayne, that a lot of times I would kind of overlook the black clients that I had coming into my barbershop, and almost kind of like create this atmosphere as when white people come into my barbershop, I want them to be able to feel comfortable and safe so that they can continue to patronize me. When all along, the main individuals that was patronizing my barbershops were black folks, and I kind of almost didn't even really see the same value in myself and in my people as I did white people. And I attribute that to media. I attribute that to religion and things like that, because, I mean, anyone who grew up in the church, I mean, if you had any type of vacation Bible school curriculum and things like that, they never had a true representation of, you know, the region where the Bible actually took place and the actual characters based on geography. you know, let's think about some of the movies that even came out that depicted Bible characters,
Damn.
Charleston Heston and Moses. Come on now, was Moses white with, you know, a perm, gray hair, you know, but you know, when you have control over the cameras and the airwaves and you have the money and the resources, you're going to slant the story, you know, not rooted in reality,
Didn't they
but
have
rooted
Russell
in the reality that you want, you know?
play? Didn't they have Russell Crowe play Noah?
Exactly. And so, you know, that's the great deception. The great deception is that, you know, Christianity started with white people, and you know, black people were cursed. But the reality is that, you know, the Bible, Christianity, God, the law of Moses, humanity, civilization, all these things started with black people. And so, you know, they kind of
Everywhere.
got exactly, they got the head start on things, you know, and they kind of asserted themselves in certain roles and certain positions to where now we're kind of looking at ourselves in a way that doesn't really reflect who we really are. And once we really know,
Out here with them dirty ass perms out here. I'm sorry.
you know,
We wouldn't rocking it like that
right? I mean, I think that's something that we're starting to see, and I think it's beautiful. We're starting to see more black women
the day. Black is beautiful.
exactly having an appreciation for their natural beauty, natural hair, things like that. But you know, we still have a lot of black women who are, you know, I mean, some may say, I just like straight hair, you know, or it may be rooted in some self-sabotaging, some type of self-degradation that we have amongst our culture to where we still have to feel like we have, in order to be beautiful, we have to kind of almost like assimilate to
Our true self,
exactly.
a great fabrication and the assimilation
Exactly.
to try to put ourselves into the alignment of what we think
Beauty is.
society wants us to look like, or how society feels we should portray ourselves, you know, or
Exactly.
we go into work and whatnot, and we feel like we have to really follow that. Follow that line that we feel they want us to cross or whatnot. That's why you have a lot of black people who wind up getting blackballed in corporate America
Right.
and feel like not only like within the workplace, like, you know, positions that we're qualified for and overqualified for get gentrified with you know, folks who wind up bringing in, you know, their family members or people that they know. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Like, you
Right.
got brothers with degrees and can't even find, you know, jobs here in Indiana because our skin color, simple as that.
Right.
It's real sad, you know.
That's why I'm a huge proponent for entrepreneurship. And I know a lot of us, you know, a lot of people say everybody can't be entrepreneurs, but I would say that's a lie. I think that, you
You
know,
don't have to eliminate your 9 to 5 either to be an entrepreneur either. You can use that 9 to 5 to invest into your entrepreneurial dream boat, man. You fill that boat up with all the tools necessary and can keep that 9 to 5. You can keep your benefits and whatnot, but build your baby up because your baby has to grow. You have to provide it nutrient for it to grow, and it takes time. It doesn't happen
Right.
overnight.
Right.
Doesn't happen overnight. Your baby seed,
Right.
it takes water. A nutrient to grow. You have to take care of it, you know?
Right. And so, you know, we got a lot of our brothers that are you know, coming home from being incarcerated, have a felony on their record. You know, we have a lot of people who are in positions to where they're looking for jobs when, you know, God has given everybody a talent. He's given everybody a skill. But I don't think that a lot of us understand how to monetize that, you know, how to actually kind of put one foot forward, one foot in front of the other and begin to start kind of seeing how we can kind of be self-sufficient, self-sustain ourselves through something that we enjoy doing. You know, I think that there's certain things in the Black community that is kind of, it's staples of the Black community. When I say that, I'm referring to barbers, cosmetologists, maybe mechanics, things of that sort. But there's so many more things that we can do, not just within those type of industries that I just mentioned. I mean, there's so many more things that we can do as barbers, cosmetologists, so on and so forth. But there are also all sorts of businesses that we can, you know, start that could, you know, basically sustain us better than a corporate job.
IT, you know, coding, exactly. Consulting.
Exactly.
There's a lot of different realms that are untapped that are in great need right now, currently. So we're just hoping that what we can do with this podcast is, you know, provide resources, a few laughs, insight in intricate detail on, you know, how, you know, two Black men live in everyday life just like you guys, and just, you know, want to kind of spread love and good energy and positive vibrations, but also provide great information that can be utilized on a day-to-day basis. And we'll also be open to inviting other folks onto our podcast as well, you know, sharing information and resources. And we hope that, you know, this first podcast gave you a little bit of light about who we are as men, and that we'll be able to see you within the next week or so. So bear with us. You know, this is brand new. It's fresh with us. Definitely keep your ear out. And stay blessed. We appreciate you.
Hold on, one more thing. Also, I'm Adrian Burney, a.k.a. the Barber Bishop. So if you're in the Indianapolis, Indiana area, Fort Wayne, Indiana area, you can reach me through Instagram. Instagram handle is the Barber Bishop. You can reach me on Facebook, and it's just my name, Adrian Burney, ADRIANBURNEY. I do house calls, but, you know, and my house calls are, you know, I'm not just going to go nowhere for no $20 or anything like that. So you're going to get a quality service in the comfort of your home, business, workplace, so on and so forth. Also, provide educational classes for barbers, cosmetologists, salon owners, barbershop owners, cosmetology schools, barber schools, just providing some education for those barbers that want to be able to take their skills to another level, and those that are even curious and interested in entering into the barbering industry. So just want to also just want to put that out there. The Barber Bishop, Indianapolis, Indiana, Fort Wayne, Indiana, get with me.
All right. No doubt, man. Appreciate you, eh? My name is Trevor Adam Essex on Facebook. Instagram page goes under the alias of the one that's the number one sole purpose, the one sole purpose on Instagram. At me, follow me, I follow back. I'm always down for open perspective and conversation. Spoken word artist, and every now and then I provide different poems that I write, working on a book right now. Also, www.eclectic. Hold on, what's that right here? Okay, www.eclecticfruit.com. That's where I can be found. That's where the podcast will reside as well. If you need additional links, we'll be providing different vendors on that page as well. So keep in touch with us. We'll definitely keep you enlightened to the next podcast, different information, different programs. And we'll keep in touch from that avenue's perspective. Peace and light. Love.
All right.